We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Go inside the business of college athletics. This is In the Bullseye with University of Buffalo Athletic Director Mark Allnut. Now, here's Boone Enser.
Welcome to this Bulls Digital In the Bullseye podcast with Athletic Director Mark Allnut. Mark, welcome to your show.
Hey, Boone, thanks for having me as always. I appreciate this.
Well, thanks for having me, too. Hey, the conference has released the first two TV games. UB football got some good love. Talk to me about the importance of being on those platforms of ESPN2 for the away opener and then ESPN, the mothership for the home opener.
Well, we're appreciative of the partnership that the Mid-American Conference has with our TV partners, in this case, ESPN and CBS Sports. It talks more about, how our program has continued to rise over the last few years and, the attraction of UB football, which we're all excited about. So to start the season at Northern Illinois, which is going to be a very good game on ESPN2, and then turn around and just realize, from a divisional race standpoint, to play Miami at home, 8 o'clock prime time on ESPN. That is, as you say, some good love for the program. But we talk about more from an exposure standpoint. We talk also about how recruiting is nowadays, with it being a lengthy dead period, just an opportunity for not just our alumni and fans to be able to check out UB football, but also prospective student-athletes. And then that third week, which is not announced yet, all six games. Again, so grateful for our partnership with our TV folks. All six games will be televised on linear. So whether that's ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, or CBS Sports, our third game at Bowling Green will be televised as well.
That's awesome. Hey, talk a little bit about Lance and the recruiting. You talked a little bit about recruiting there. We have 10 guys on watch lists. Just talk about how that happened, what his plan was, and just kind of how you're helping him to do what he needs to get done.
Well, it's called player development. I mean, when you look at these names here, not one was a four-star, five-star recruit, coming out of high school. To Coach Leipold and his staff, they have an unbelievable eye for talent. And then to be able to develop that talent. So you see some of these names here where, Taylor Riggins, both running backs, Jared Patterson, Kevin Marks, Tyrone Hill, Coyote, Awasaka, Malcolm Kuntz, Taylor Riggins again, Max Michel, Jared Patterson again, Mike Nowitzki. So those are names of individuals that, you know, were identified through their evaluation process, but came to UB, you know, was involved with our developmental process, you know, whether it's, you know, getting better at their craft of playing football, or again, just the strength and conditioning component, you know, and there's so much that goes into that when we talk about the nutrition aspect of that, having a fueling station, you know, now on board. So when we go through the recruiting process now, you know, we can look at certain aspects of our program, whether it's the personnel that's going to touch, you know, our student athletes on a daily basis, or the facilities, you know, such as the field house, such as the fueling station, or, you know, our new renovated locker room, which is, you know, first class and one of the tops, and, you know, not just the group of five, but when you look at FBS in general, and having, you know, plans in place with our master plan that, you know, was finalized, and opportunities to look at other facilities that are going to really help, you know, from a recruiting process. And what the staff has been able to do from a virtual standpoint these past 7 months, you know, being able to show, you know, prospective student athletes what we have to offer has been phenomenal. And we'll continue that momentum there.
Hey, talk a little bit about you're kind of in a unique position for Mid-America, or a MAC AD, being on the NCAA Oversight Committee, and then also you served a pretty big role on the return to play plan for the MAC itself. Just talk about those two roles that you take on, or you've taken on, and how you've helped us get back.
No, for sure. I mean, a lot of unknowns, a lot of variables thrown at us, you know, throughout this process. But really, it was an opportunity for us to get together at the national level and assess where we are, you know, what made sense in terms of coming back. Keeping in mind that, you know, there's various state laws that are out there, mandates, you know, as we're going through COVID, you know, created an unfair playing field. You know, cases were spiking in some places while others were at a low. But to try to find some consistency from a football oversight committee. And, you know, we put together a return to play as it led up to the 2020 season, which, you know, again, had some delays. Certain conferences such as ours decided initially to postpone play, potentially to the spring. Okay, so with that being said, you know, you have 70-plus programs playing, the others that are not playing. Okay, how can we still make this work and put together something that, you know, from a competitive standpoint, that is equitable? So how will we address what spring football might look like in the fall? What would that season look like in January or February, whenever, you know, those seasons would start for those conferences? So, you know, had those high-level discussions, which involved, fortunately involved myself, other ADs, football coaches, but then also, too, you know, your medical personnel and your experts in whether it was, you know, all aspects of health, whether it was an opportunity to look at, you know more about the infectious disease aspect of this. So we had to rely on them to figure out what made sense. Now, turn the corner based on more data that was provided to the various conference, based on, you know, having more access to testing, which is key, you know, as we move forward. Also having the understanding that there is a continued evaluation of the student athlete if they do test positive, you know, based on some potential long-term effects, and how are we best equipped to be able to handle that. So again, it was discussions, it was decisions that was made, you know, the recruiting calendar, you know, being one, bowl games, who would be eligible for bowl games, just things that you never think of, you know, on a normal period, that we were able to come together regardless if a conference is playing at one point our conference was delayed, and really, you know, make decisions that made sense for the overall FBS membership. And then now, you know, when you focus on the Mid-American Conference standpoint, you know, same type of decisions that were made in terms of, you know, working collectively with other administrators, working with our coaches to determine what a spring season might look like. Okay, now we're in the fall. You know, what's the appropriate ramp-up time to be able to start those games? What would the scheduling look like in terms of, you know, we want a true champion, so we want to play all of our division divisional foes first and one crossover game. So a lot of work went into this, but really the collaborative process and setting aside UB or setting aside, you know, whatever institution's out there and really just think about the collective good is which I was appreciative to be a part of that process.
Well, we're appreciative of you guys getting us back on the field, too. This is the Inside the Bullseye podcast with Athletic Director for Buffalo, Mark Allnut. Mark, I don't know how you feel about this, but I was walking around earlier, and I got to see, I was out in the arena, I got to see a little bit of basketball practice on. They're tipping the end of November. How excited are you for basketball season today?
You know, I'm just excited to see all of our sport programs having activity, practicing, preparing for the eventual seasons, off-season workouts, you know, whatever the case might be. You know, we've worked so hard, and a lot of people that I can give credit to, you know, on our staff, on our campus, you know, within this county and state that have put us in a position to prepare for what's next. So when I see these practices, whether it's, you know, we talk so much about, you know, football or men's and women's basketball or going into the wrestling room, seeing tennis out there on those courts just north of Murchie Family Fieldhouse, you know, it gives me some pride to see that. And the patience of our coaches, but more so our coaches' understanding, too, that, you know, this is a different time. And, you know, their focus being on the health and safety, you know, of our student-athletes and our student-athletes embracing that and being able to, you know, lead from a peer standpoint each other to mitigate the best they can to stay safe during these times. So, you know, I enjoy hearing that ball bounce as I'm walking, you know, through the concourse of Alumni Arena. But I'm excited whether it's that basketball that's bouncing or if I hear a spike from one of our volleyball student-athletes or if I see our cross-country folks, you know, out running about. I'm just very appreciative of being in a position that, you know what, we have some type of activity and we're preparing for our eventual seasons.
Mark, we're both fathers. My daughters both partake in tennis and golf, and actually my 13-year-old hit an 84 the other day, so she was all pumped.
Hey, I can do that in 9 holes.
I can do it in about 5.
Yeah.
You know, your son's in college. Talk about the mental aspect. He's playing college football. Talk about the mental aspect of them being back in their sports and playing. I know I see it with my kids.
Yeah, I you see it. I mean, we all see it, and I believe in our role, we take that with us and understand that, you know what, we're kind of that surrogate, you know, father or mother here in our roles that we play, and we see it and we feel it. You know, we feel the emotion. You know, they all have questions. There's always concerns, but at the end of the day, you know, to be able to allow them to do something. So, you know what, we took incredible steps when we were able to open up our facilities and begin strength and conditioning. Now, there was people that were anxious and were like, hey, we initially need to put a ball in our hand right now. And we're like, slow down. You know, we haven't had the opportunity for any type of activity for, you know, in some cases 3 or 4 months. So, you know what, we're going to re-socialize the right way and do it the appropriate way to, again, we all want to, you know, get to a point where we're playing our sport. But we also have to realize, too, again, from a health and safety standpoint, with soft tissue injury prevention, you know, we have to acclimate ourselves in the appropriate way before we get started. So it's been an incredible change, you know, in terms of attitude, in terms of, you know, again, that opportunity to be able to perform, you know, whether it's my son who's at Southeast Missouri State University or other three kids who are have the ability to have some activity. I say this, I've said this quite a bit, but gosh, my wife Kate and I, you know, we enjoyed the times where we were able to pull out the lawn chairs and sit and watch baseball for 2 hours straight and just, you know, be able to, you know, show that pride with our kids who were, you know what, on the base paths or out in left field or whatever the case might be. It was it was fun and it resonated, you know, with them as well, for them to have the opportunity to be involved with organized sports again.
And having everybody back on campus, none of that would be possible without the planning that, you know, you helped out with what Dr. Brada and his group have done. You know, the amount of testing we're doing now, it's pretty high. Talk to me about Make It Possible campaign and why we need to help now.
Yeah, help is desperately needed here, and that's just the reality of the situation that we're in, and other institutions, you know, across the NCAA are in as well. When you're in a position where, you know, significant revenue has been lost, but then also now you add additional expenses in regards to testing, which is needed, which is required by the NCAA in order to perform, and we want to perform here at UB. So, you know, for us, we identified what those costs would be in order to allow, you know, our kids to perform their various sports, and you know, we're looking out at the community, at our alumni base, you know, for that assistance. You know, we're in a position where, okay, we're not going to receive any ticket revenue because as of now, there's going to be no fans at our contest. So, you know what? The best opportunity for our supporters is to, you know, convert that money if they can. And again, we understand the situation that's out there. But you know what? If they can convert that money to make it possible, and make it possible is not just an opportunity for us to, you know, have these monies and we're spending it lavishly on this or that, or we're eyeing it towards a new facility. You know, what it is essentially, you know, the testing component. You know, the amount of testing, and it is very rigorous and rightfully so, to be able to help, you know, cover that aspect of it. You know, to be able to help you know, the cost of PPE. You know, everyone needs to wear a mask these days, and rightfully so. You know, as we begin football, we're going to have to reconfigure, you know, some of the areas in our stadium so it's compliant with the you know, state, local CDC guidelines in terms of density, in terms of how we're going to operate. So, you know, what a fine way for folks who are great supporters of ours, alums, you know, what have you, to really designate their money to a cause that helps, you know, those names that I mentioned that are on the watch list, or that helps, you know, other student athletes that a lot of people might not know about, who are, you know, it's spending a lot of time and energy focusing on their craft, to be able to allow them that opportunity to participate, which is a phenomenal opportunity in the highest level of amateurism here in this nation.
Hey, we talked a little bit about the mental health and how it's helped these student athletes to be back together as a group, to be on the court, to be on the field of play. Social injustice that's going on out there. Early on, you were one of the leaders to get a group going with our student athletes. Talk a little bit about what you've done and where we're at with the Stronger Together Task Force.
Yeah, you know, I'm so proud of that group that's there in our Stronger Together Task Force. You know, it's a combination of student athletes, coaches, and staff that's working together, you know, in a collaborative effort. You know, because I don't want it to be, you know, Mark Onlett is going to say, hey, we're doing this, this, and this. You know, the student athlete needs to have a voice. The staff needs to have a voice. And, you know, from our meetings, you know, what we've talked about and where we've made progress and where some action has occurred is, you know, people talk so much about education. You know what? More education is needed, you know, amongst our staff and amongst our student athletes. So, you know what? We are providing, you know, those opportunities. You know, people talk about voting, you know, the opportunity to register, which I'm proud of a lot of our student athletes and some staff have recently became registered to vote. But the second piece of that is, you know, educating yourselves in a way that, yes, you're registered, but, you know, what are you voting for, and know what you're voting for. And more importantly, too, is, yes, there's a big election coming the first Tuesday of November, but you know what? There's elections that happen, you know, throughout the year where significant impact can be made. So that's the type of education that we're providing for our people there. You know, the other aspect of that is, how can we, you know, affect the community? You know, how can we make a difference in the community? Where are some of those opportunities that we're exploring where we can, you know, create those partnerships or volunteer, you know, in the city of Buffalo to, you know, for those folks to understand how important they are to us and how important the university can be, you know, in this community as well. So, you know, as we move forward, you know, we're slowly leaking things out in terms of what we're doing. We're working on a unifying patch for all of our programs to wear. The NCAA came out with one, which we're exploring that opportunity as well. But we want to look at something that's UB specific, so that when people have the opportunity to turn on the TV, these games that we talked about earlier, they can see that patch on that jersey, or football's doing something in addition to the back of their helmet, or I know when basketball comes around, there'll be something on their shooting shirts that you know what brings about that recognition, but also brings about that discussion too. These are tough discussions to be had, but they're also critical, and how we approach it is we want to be respectful in people's thoughts, their opinions on these, obviously on these situations. But at the same token, it all comes back to we have to be educated, and we're not just going to do something just because, another institution is doing something, or we're just not going to go on social media just because I see other people on social media. For us, it's, what makes the most sense, and where can we have an impact, and where can this be, recognized as truly making a difference?
So Tuesday the 3rd, get out and vote. Tuesday the 3rd, pay attention to the vote. Wednesday the 4th, you're walking into a stadium. You're seeing two teams on the field. What's going through your final thought here? What's going through your heart and your mind?
You know what? I think I'm going to feel very similar to my very first football game here at UB. Just really having a chance to reflect on the last 8 months, and what's happened and how this world has transformed and everything we had to go through to get to this point. And for me to be able to either be on the field or looking from wherever I'm going to be looking at Northern Illinois, and just to see, those, I'm not going to say 11 competitors, but 22 competitors, having the opportunity to play a sport that they love, have an opportunity to represent themselves, their families, their program, their institution, what a phenomenal thing. And for me to reflect back on everything that's happened, and now to get to that point there, I might get a little emotional. Who knows, but I'm looking forward to that time, and hope we can get there with no issues and be able to play a game that's going to be live in front of a national televised audience.
You can watch on ESPN2, or you can listen locally on ESPN 1520 AM or on the TuneIn app. Hey, Mark, first episode in the Bullseye podcast with Athletic Director Mark Allnut. We do okay?
Yeah, we did fine. Usually I'm used to someone next to me, but
hey, we're social distance.
This is social
actually
distance.
We're probably 120 feet apart.
Yeah, we are apart. And I always have my UB mask, ready just in case I need it. So now this is great, and I appreciate it, and appreciate any opportunity that we can, inform our great followers of UB Athletics. So thanks again, Boone.
You actually got one more thing. So you hold up that mask again. Hold up your mask again. So Elaine told me there are a few left. If you make a $50 donation to make it possible, campaign, you can get one, right?
That is exactly right. Yeah, what a great branded mask to take out there when you're at Wegmans or wherever you are, out and about, being social distance masked up. It's definitely a talking piece. It's a conversation piece. Anytime I wear mine, people ask, where I get it. I relay that information. So hopefully that's part of the reason why we have such few left. So we'll see.
And I know you're a runner. Kudos to Nate Wills, our CFO, for ordering those. When I work out with those on, it's like night and day to any other mask. I'm not just saying that because it's our mask. But it's so much better when working out. So,
hey, man, just make sure you wash that thing. That's all I ask. If you're working out that thing, please wash it.
Well, believe me. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Tune back in. We'll have some more of these coming up. And this was the inaugural edition of Inside the Bullseye podcast with Athletic Director Mark Allnut.
For more information on the athletics program at the University of Buffalo, visit ubbulls.com/podcast. This has been In the Bullseye, a proud presentation of Bulls Digital.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.